Steve, thanks so much. Zoltan Istvan is a futurist, a philosopher, a journalist, author of The Transhumanist Wager. He also happens to be running for the office of the President of the United States for 2016, part of the Transhumanist Party. He joins us by way of phone right now. Zoltan, how are things? Everything good?
What do you mean?
Oh, say that again, Zoltan. We lost you for a second. Say that again.
I said everything's going great. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Is running for president what you thought it would be? Does it live up to your expectations?
Well, you know, I'm a third party candidate, and it's tough. I got to say, and of course, I don't have much chance of winning. But you know, we're out to make a statement. We're out to spread a philosophy of using science to live much longer and to live much better. So in terms of exposure and in terms of kind of spreading what I'm trying to do, it's definitely worked very well.
All right, so go through that with me, if you wouldn't mind. The Transhumanist Party is what, essentially? What are the core beliefs and values of the Transhumanist Party?
Well, you know, transhumanism is just a word that means using science and technology to modify the human being and to make the human being better. So the Transhumanist Party supports any type of science and technology that would, you know, literally kind of remake what the human being is. That could be anything from bionic limbs to artificial hearts to even, you know, cranial implants that might stop Alzheimer's or epilepsy and things like of that nature.
All right. So these are things that I think all of us want. There's nobody in the United States, if not the world, that doesn't want to live longer and better. Why would there be any opposition to something like this?
Well, to be honest, you know, about 75% of America is religious. Mm-hmm. And one of the core tenets of transhumanism is we're trying to conquer death with science and technology. And frankly, a lot of experts think within 20 to 30 to 40 years through, you know, genetic engineering and stuff like that, we probably will be able to mostly be able to overcome biological aging and death. But that kind of crisscrosses with a lot of religious beliefs because, you know, one of the main ideas of religion is that there's an afterlife if you behaved well on planet Earth. So, you know, that's kind of where a lot of the conflict with transhumanism and sort of the rest of the world comes up. So that's why I think a lot of people don't necessarily always support it.
Do you know who Norm Macdonald is, Zoltan?
I know just a little bit.
He's a comedian. He used to be on Saturday Night Live. Now he's on all the KFC commercials. He's the guy who plays Colonel Sanders. He does stand-up comedy, and he said that's what our doctors and our scientists should be working on, not all the little things. Figure out a way to not die. That should be the focus. And I guess essentially that's what you're saying too, isn't it?
Well, I am, and I got to be honest, you know, in the last few years, this idea has really caught on. You know, it used to be science fiction, you can live forever or whatever. You know, most transhumanists don't speak about living forever. We speak about living to 150 or maybe 200. But the idea is that because of genetic engineering, because of 3D printing, because of robotic organs, you know, most people die because of organ failure, we have a very real chance of keeping human beings alive significantly longer than ever before. And frankly, if the human race can make it to the next 50 years, I'm pretty sure that virtually everyone on the planet will have access to this technology that will allow them to live as long as they want.
All right. Now, from a political standpoint, look at it this way. I've heard so many people say one of the reasons, one of the many reasons we're having financial struggles right now is that people are living longer and we have to support those people as they live longer. How do you address something like that?
Well, so, you know, we have a lot of different political philosophies in addition to science and technology, of course. And one of our core philosophies is we would like to implement a universal basic income, which essentially says that everybody, you know, in America would get some type of, you know, amount of money that would allow them to have the basics, food, shelter, those kinds of things. And the reason we say that is because we know that robots are literally going to be taking all the jobs over the next 15 and 20 years. So with the universal basic income would come also universal basic health care. We'd probably be able to get rid of Social Security because a universal basic income would cover that. We'd also be getting rid of welfare because a universal basic income would be covering that. So one of our core beliefs is to try to take care of everyone and give them this opportunity to have this really, you know, amazing health, especially in a world where it's going to be more and more difficult to keep a job because a piece of software or a robot will be able to do it a lot more cheaply.
When you say universal basic income, does that imply that everybody would make pretty much the exact same amount?
Well, it means that everyone would have a very core basic amount, such, you know, something like, I don't know, maybe 50, maybe the poverty line, maybe $15,000 or $20,000. But the idea is, on top of that, you could do whatever you wanted. It'd still be a totally normal capitalistic society. But I think the idea is, with so many, you know, let's be honest, there's, like, for example, 7.5 million truck drivers in America, and they're now already experimenting with driverless trucks. So that industry in 5 years could be completely decimated. So we need to make sure that people have a you know, some type of income, because they may not be able to be retrained in the future. There may be no more jobs to be retrained for. So everybody would at least get enough to kind of cover the basics, food, you know, be able to raise a family, shelter, and things like that. It's one of the cornerstones of our political philosophies, because it's not that we lean to left or to right or anything like that. It's really about the fact that robots and pieces of software, they just simply can do things much more efficiently, and companies are going to be upgrading to those kinds of things. And so we want to make sure that people are taken care of as a first priority.
Should we be afraid, with everything you just said, when you say these things, robots are going to replace most of us? Is that cause for us to be scared, do you think, or not?
Well, so, you know, we do. We, as at the Transhumanist Party, we also are hopefully cautious. And we also try to work on things like existential risk. And I would say one existential risk is that machines sort of take over. So I think as we go along this process of technology becoming smarter and smarter, we better be very careful that robots don't eventually replace us. And I think we can do that just by having careful lawmaking, certain mandates, and also a culture that embraces human beings surviving as opposed to robots thriving.
Zoltan, we're getting a bunch of texts. If you're just joining us, Zoltan Istvan is my guest. He is author of The Transhumanist Wager. He's running for the presidency, as a matter of fact, a third-party candidate with the Transhumanist Party. People want to know what the incentive is to work if all the basics are covered. That's from 815. What would be the impetus to go out and work if everything you have is coming to you anyway?
Well, I think that would, you know, that's something that everybody has to answer for themselves. And to be honest, I get asked this question all the time. Well, what do I do if I don't have to work? Well, I don't, you know, one of our policies is we'd like to make college entirely free. So if you want to go and do a third or a fourth PhD, it's something you could do. So I don't know, maybe people would sit on the beach in the Bahamas and play guitar, or maybe people would become artists, or maybe people just would, you know, sit at home and, you know, become a guitar player. It's really not up to me to decide, but what we're trying to make sure is, in the future, if robots are simply, you know, more efficient at most jobs, people should have the right to have a very good and healthy and long life.
You had me at Bahamas, Zoltan, I'll be honest with you. Can you stick around for a little bit? We've got a lot more questions for you. You're
absolutely
good time-wise?
I look forward to it.
Zoltan Istvan is here, futurist, philosopher, journalist, running for the presidency, as a matter of fact, with the Transhumanist Party. You can give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's us. It's Bill F., and that's Wendy Snyder right over there. Our guest is Zoltan Istvan. Zoltan is a futurist. He's a philosopher. He's a journalist. The author of The Transhumanist Wager. Now he is running for the office of presidency for 2016. He is a presidential candidate. Zoltan, a lot of people, by way of text, have asked what separates your theories from socialism. Now, there was a time, and I'm sure you're aware of this, that was a dirty word. If you were a socialist, that was a bad thing. But Bernie Sanders seems to have cleaned that up a little bit. It's not the worst thing in the world now to have socialistic values. But what separates your ideas from a socialist standpoint?
Well, and that's an excellent question, because I get, frankly, you know, some of the major things of a universal basic income are incredibly socialistic. That said, one has to understand that when you look out 20 or 30 years and you talk about robots and software and all these things taking jobs, you're talking about a very different type of economic environment than ever before. You know, I've gone on the record saying I'm not really certain that capitalism will survive the next 30 years. It's not really a question of whether we're, you know, embracing socialism. It's really a question of how can we do the greater good for the most amount of people and keep the world together, keep it so that people don't go out in the streets when they've lost their jobs and throw Molotov cocktails. So if it's, you know, it's not really necessarily we're embracing socialism. We're embracing a path that will keep America as well as other countries kind of on a trajectory of better health, you know, better prosperity, longer lifespans and things like that. And it just happens to be with robots taking all these jobs, socialism or a universal basic income is the idea that fits better. But to give you an idea, we also have plenty of other like kind of either right leaning or libertarian ideas that might not necessarily go with that. It's really, we try to make all our political decisions from science and technology. Every question the Transhumanist Party and my campaign answers comes from a science or a technological point of view.
Do you believe in the global warming or not?
We absolutely do believe in global warming. And, you know, our way to fix that, I would say we're very strong environmentalists at the Transhumanist Party. Our way to fix that would be to basically support mega engineering projects that would make the world more green. For example, you know, we have destroyed huge amounts of rainforest because we've been growing cattle, and about a third of the arable land has been dedicated to growing cattle so everyone can have meat. But meatless meat, which is just coming around the corner, is a great way to save the environment. It's a great way to regrow the rainforest. It's a great way to use technology as a method to bring back the planet to its pristine condition.
We've had a couple of people text in this. 217 is the best. Why would anyone want to live to be 150 or 200 years old? But if you're living healthy, that's another story. Why wouldn't you if you're living healthy, right?
Well, yeah, and I think one of the things a lot of people don't understand, we talk about living to 150, is we're very close to at least stopping aging and potentially reversing aging. And now when I say very close, I'd say we're 15 to 30 years away from starting to really have some success with this. We've already had some success in mice with reversing the inner organs of mice and essentially rejuvenating these organs. So it's very possible when we talk about living indefinitely, you're not going to be living indefinitely at 100 years old with a cane, you know, and barely able to move. You're going to be living indefinitely at whatever age you want to live, especially when you're kind of merging with machines using bionics. I mean, there's a very solid chance that bionic eyes and bionic arms will be better than biological eyes and biological arms in just 15 years. So when you talk about living indefinitely, don't see yourself as this old person.
Yeah.
See yourself as this kind of this amazing human being that's sort of like merged a little bit with machines and able to, you know, keep your youth and vibrancy all throughout your day and all throughout your life.
But when you hear, and I'm sure you're aware of this, I've read it from several sources that the millennials right now, this is the first generation in the last 120 years where their life expectancy is less than the generation that preceded it. How do you explain something like that? That's bad news.
Well, I've actually not heard that that quote at all. Really, people's life expectancies would be less?
Yeah, not dramatically, just by a year or a year and a half, but still it's the first time. Life expectancy kept growing and growing over the last three or four generations, but now this one, the millennials, it's down about a year and a half.
You know, I have not read that, and I'd have to see the studies, but everything that I have read points to lifespans increasing. And if you just look at the J curve, from something like 1900 to 2000, we doubled. There's every reason to think that because of bionics, 3D printing of organs and stuff like that, we're also going to double our lifespans from now. I can't imagine that anyone that's a millennial right now is not going to have the possibility of living indefinitely. The kinds of things they're doing now with genetic therapy, the kinds of things they're doing with essentially bionic organs and stuff like that, this is going to make it so that death as we know it, unless you're like crushed in a terrible car accident, is something very different. We're going to be able to eliminate things. And then we have this whole nanotechnology revolution literally just about to happen, where essentially you're going to have these little bots inside your bloodstream. And there's already all sorts of little things we're putting inside people. For example, I have a chip in my hand that are going to tell us when we have diseases way beforehand, so we can kind of attack, like say a cancer, you know, right when it's starting, as opposed to getting it in this, you know, third or fourth stage when it's sort of too late.
Right.
I think, I'd say we have the millennials. I would be very surprised if any millennials die unless it's something tragic.
We only have a minute or a minute and a half, Sultan, but I'm curious. You know you have an uphill battle. You even said yourself you don't expect to win in your race for the presidency. What do you think of the other people, the front runners, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders? What do you make of them?
Well, you know, from the point of view of my campaign, what we're really interested in is who's going to be the best candidate for science and technology, because we are trying to live better. We are trying to live more healthy. In this case, I think someone from the Democratic Party is going to be more conducive to the environment of science. though I think Trump will probably, you know, be also pro-science. I think, for example, Ted Cruz could have been really dangerous because what if he had done something like George W. Bush did and stopped stem cell funding for 7 years? Ted Cruz might stop genetic engineering, which could be the key to eliminating all disease in the human race. So, you know, for religious reasons. So the candidates that are kind of leading right now, they're probably going to be pretty good for science, I'd say.
So I got to be honest with you. I read the story. I read your story on Huffington Post, and I wasn't sure what to make of you. You make some very excellent points. You really do.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for having me on your show. It's been great to talk to you.
Good luck with the rest of the run. What do you anticipate happening next? You said you don't expect to win this thing, but do you go through, do you pick a vice presidential candidate? Do you have speeches ready? What comes next for you?
Well, we have another national bus tour. We have a strange bus. We're driving around the country trying to promote transhumanism. And to be honest with you, what I'm really trying to do here is set myself up for a much more involved run in either 2020 or 2024. And I'll probably pick one of the bigger parties to run with.
Yeah.
In my case, it'll probably be with the Democrats. And so I'm going to look to do this again, but on a much better level. So I'm really just trying to lay the foundation here and sort of spread the movement and spread the message that, hey, science and technology is much more important than Social Security, much more important than warfare, much more important than military or even foreign policy. Our health, America's health, that's what I'm concerned about. So hopefully maybe in 4 or 8 years, you'll hear from me again, and I'll be doing a lot better.
Excellent. Zoltan, thanks for spending time with us. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. That's Zoltan Istvan, futurist, philosopher, and journalist running for the presidency of the United States. We'll take a quick break. We'll get some news from Kim Gordon, and then Eric Zorn will join us. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.